Let's go into the Lord, to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence that's already here. Lord, we thank you, Father, for dwelling among us. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would open the eyes of our understanding as I bring this lesson. I ask, Father, Lord, that you would give me utterance to deliver it and give your people receiving hearts to receive it. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would help them to understand the importance of staying in you, the importance of living in you, the importance of staying under your umbrella. We commit the rest of this service to you, and we ask, Lord, that your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tonight we have part 3 of Supernatural Protection, Psalms 91. I'm just going to go over and read some of the verses that we've already done. For those of you who missed the first two, the CD is available. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. We have to say what we say we shall have. Our mouth is important. Our confession is important. You know, a lot of us are reaping what we've been saying like all our lives, and we don't like it. So maybe we should start saying what the word says. Yeah. So the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And this is where we stopped last week. 1,000 falling at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee, or it shall not come near us. 1,000 shall fall at our side, or 1,000 shall fall at my side, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 here, 10,000 there, but it shall not come near you. This is God's promise to his people, those of us who are abiding, those of us who are staying in that secret place, living in that secret place. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, who is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. When we make God our refuge, when we camp out in God, when we allow him to live through us, nothing and no one can harm us. But we have, once again, we have to be living. You know, a lot of things happen to Christians. And sometimes they wonder, well, why is this stuff always happening to me? Have you ever heard people ask that question? How come all this stuff is always happening to me? Nothing ever seems to happen to her or to him. Well, what are you doing? Where are you living? You know? You have to be living, dwelling, abiding in that secret place. God is our fortress. He is that place that's inaccessible to the enemy. So when I was preparing this lesson, Job came to mind. Job 1, remember that story? You know, Job was walking up and down in the earth, and then he went and presented himself before God as the sons of God were presenting himself. Satan went too. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why in heaven's name did he allow Satan to come there? Why didn't he just kick him out? You know, apparently he has access to heaven. And God says, you know, well, where were you? I'm paraphrasing. Where did you just come from? And Satan says, from walking to and fro in the earth, from, you know, up and down in it. And God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Now God had to know the kind of man Job was to make this statement to Satan. So let's read Job 1 from verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. There's always a devil in the bunch. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." I used to think that's all he was doing, just walking. But, you know, I found out later on, that's not what he's doing. He's looking for stuff so that he can go before God and accuse you and I of. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's digging into our past, into our ancestral past, and then twist whatever they did and somehow find a way to use it against us. He's an expert at that sort of stuff. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" In other words, does he fear you for nothing? "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Satan had to get permission to attack Job. You know, he couldn't just attack him. Peter said, you know, that he's like a roaring lion. Last week we studied that, going about seeking whom he may devour. He has to seek. He has to look for someone to devour, someone to bite, someone to attack, someone to scratch and claw at. You know, it's not automatic. He's not just able to devour at will. If he could, I guarantee you we wouldn't be here, because he hates us. Those of us who are living for God, he can't stand us. He hates us, and he would take us out just like that if he could. Here, he had to get permission from God. God said, "Okay, you can go do what you want to do, but don't touch his life." And we all know how he went in all the trials that Job went through. But in the end, Job prevailed and was blessed with double. He got double for his trouble. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is our refuge. God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That's where we hide. You know, that's where, you know, we just go put ourselves. One night I had a dream, and I dreamt I was in this house. It wasn't where I was living, but it was a house. It was a huge house, and I was in a room in the back of the house, and my son Michael, Matthew, was with me. At the time when I had the dream, Matt was about four or five years old. And you know, in the dreams you just know stuff, you know. And so as I was standing in this room, an agent of Satan came to the house. I knew she was an agent. From where I was in the back room, it's like I could see her. And she was looking for me. Like Satan was looking for me and he couldn't find me. And he had people looking. This is what I'm getting in the dream. And she was one, and she had been looking, and she came to this house. Like somebody told her I was at this house, and she came to the house. She opened the door and she came in and she went all over the house. And eventually she came to the room where I was. I was standing right there, and my son was standing behind my back. Amen. And she looked like this. And she left. She did not see me. I was hidden. God had his wings over me. When you abide where you're supposed to abide, in God, in His Word, when the enemy is looking for you, he can't find you. She looked right at me, and she looked around the room, and she left to go someplace else. When we are abiding, the enemy is looking for us. He doesn't know where we are. He might get the hint, oh, she's over there, or he's over there, and he'll come and look. He can't find us. We're hidden. We are supernaturally hidden. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Living connected to God is a fence. Back in Guyana, especially in the countryside and in some places in the city, the houses are fenced and they have gates. And you can't just go in. The person either have to be expecting you, or you have to stand at the gate and call. And most of the people have dogs. You know, dogs will keep a lot of noise and the people will look out. But they have gates. In our yard, in my yard where I grew up, we had a gate. And not even the mailman couldn't come in. We had a letter box, we call it, at the fence. You know, it had a little slot, and he would put our mail in there. And if it was a package, he'd leave a little note, and we'd go to the post office and pick it up. You know, not anybody can just come into our yard. If they didn't know us, they couldn't come in. Or if we weren't there to let them in, they couldn't come in. God has a fence. God's word is a fence around these people. He protects us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. You know, we can say, I think that is there a movie or a song or something about the Untouchables? Yeah. The Untouchables. If we belong to God, if we're living, when we're living under that, you know, that umbrella, when we're in that secret place, we're untouchable. The enemy will roar like a storm. You know, he will create a ruckus. But, you know, try to scare us, probably get us out of that secret place. But we're untouchable. We just don't know, as Christians, what power we have. We, you know, a lot of us, we really don't know. We're afraid, some of us, of Satan, but he's more afraid of us. You know, he's really scared because we are protected. But we have to take up our dwelling place. You know, supernatural protection, it is not automatic. You know, when you become a Christian, you know, our troubles don't just disappear, and we live on easy street. Boy, that would be nice. You know, but it seems like when we give our lives to God, that, you know, that's when Satan turns things up on us, to, you know, and he does it to discourage us, to get us out of that secret place. God never promised us a rose garden. I think there's a song. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Oh. You know, we have to stay. If we want to live in that rose garden, we have to get in it. We have to go into it. It, you know, God's supernatural protection, it's contingent on what we do, how we live our lives, the choices that we make. We are free agents. You know, when God created us, he didn't create us as robots. Sometimes I wish he did. Then we wouldn't, you know, we just do what we were programmed to do. But he didn't do that because, you know, he wanted us to love us of our own free will. That's why he gave us a free will. You know, he wants us to come to him because we want to come to him. He wants us to live for him because we choose to live for him. But a lot of us, sad to say, we aren't making the right decisions, you know? We're allowing the enemy to pull us out, to pull us away, entice us with the things of the world, so that, you know, in the long run, that he can get the upper hand. A few weeks ago, I shared a story, and for those of you who weren't here, I'll share it again. And if you heard it, well, you're hearing it again. You know how the Lord supernaturally protected and delivered me from, you know, something, you know, that could have impacted me in a really negative way. I was on my way home from prayer meeting, one Tuesday night. Our prayer meetings was on Tuesdays. And so I was going down this road where I live, and it was dark. I mean, it was dark. The moon was not out. It was just pitch dark. But as I was walking down this road going home, all of a sudden I felt a check in my spirit. You ever feel that check? You know, that's something, like something isn't right. So I hesitated a bit, and God, you know, allowed me to see two figures hiding in the shadows. One was standing a little before my house, and the other one was over on the other side of the road by an office, and he was standing there. They thought they were hidden because it was dark, but God, it was like God just, you know, I don't know if you can say they were glowing or what, but I saw them, and I knew they were up to no good. And so, you know, I started walking very slowly, and immediately I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? And for some reason, I didn't think to turn back. But I had a friend that lived right next door to me, and I, you know, my heart was pounding, and I said, if only I can get to her house, I'll call out, and they'll come and help me. So I walked very cautiously, and as soon as I hit her bridge, I ran across the bridge. Now, they were home. Our husband was playing music. Back there, they played their music really loud. And, you know, I had this real wimpy, mousy voice. I mean, I was so quiet, I didn't shout. I mean, I had a really, 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 really soft voice. But I remember as I ran, the plan of those two guys was to sandwich me. One was going to come this way, and the other one was going to come this way. But I ran, and I shouted just as loud as I could. I called my friend's name out. Her name was Donna. I said, Donna! And it seems like God just magnified my voice above the music. And by the time I said, Donna, the door flew open, and both her and her husband were right there. And she said, yes, both of them. Now, you know that was no coincidence that they just happened to be by that door and heard my puny voice. And I'm telling you, those two guys just melted in the shadows. That was God that protected me. If it wasn't for God protecting me that night, I mean, I don't even want to think what the outcome would have been, you know? And they walked me home. I told them what happened, and they walked me home. And after that, you know, when my pastors and them heard about it, they said, you're not going home by yourself again. Every time I went to church, I had a crowd around me who escorted me home, you know. But God protected me. That was his supernatural protection. Of course, I didn't know it at the time. But now, you know, I know, and I'm so thankful how he delivered me. You know, God is always delivering us. He's always saving us from things, even when we're not aware of it. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. The Egyptians, they were plagued by 10 different plagues because Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go. In Exodus 11, 4 through 7, and Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the male and all the firstborn of beasts. I mean, it didn't matter whether you were a human being or an animal, the firstborn, God said everybody was going to die. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how did the Lord God put the difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There's a difference between those of us who choose to serve God and those of us who don't. There's a big difference. Just like there was a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites, there's a difference when it comes to God's people. There's a difference between the believers and the unbelievers. Especially now, since we have a better covenant than they even had back in those days. Hebrews 8:6, but now had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Talking about Jesus, he mediated a better covenant between us and God. The priests took the blood of bulls and goats to atone for the people, but we have something far better. We have the blood of Jesus, which is superior to the blood of any bulls and goats. Plagues cannot penetrate that bloodline. You know, anything that the enemy can orchestrate, if there's a bloodline around us, Satan can't come in. That's just the way it is. Amen. Just like, you know, in when the children of Israel, when they were being delivered, and they put the blood over their doorposts, and the death angel flew over all the houses that had the blood and didn't touch anybody there. I believe that even if they weren't Israelites, if they were Egyptians and they believed, and they went into an Israeli home that had the blood, I believe they were spared. Because he said that he would pass over the houses that had the blood. I used to sing a song back in the day. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of Jesus is a fence. It's a hedge. It preserves us. It keeps us. Plagues cannot come there. I don't care what it is. I don't care how many people are dying from it. I don't care how contagious it is. If we are living in that secret place, we are dwelling, not visiting, okay? Not temporary every now and then. You know, sometimes we, when we feel like it, we serve God. Then we allow Satan to pull us out, because that's what he's always doing, trying to pull us, away. And we go and live up in the world, go do whatever worldly people do. And then something happens and we remember God and then we jump back, fair weather Christians, I call them. You can't be a fair-weather Christian if you're going to have supernatural protection. Because while you are out there doing whatever it is you're doing, that's when Satan will strike. Mm-hmm. I shared about the chicken, that chicken that strayed from the mother hen, and how he suddenly pounced. Then, I read to you what lions do. They stalk their prey. They camouflage themselves in the bushes, and they wait. They're very patient and they wait. And when they feel it's the right time, suddenly they pounce and they're fast. So by the time you realize what's happening, they already, they have you. So we cannot afford to be iffy. We have to be constant. We have to be consistently living in that secret place. Living, in God. Abiding in him, obeying him, following his instructions, all that's part of living in that secret place. Okay? Because if we don't, Satan will have the better part of us. Sometimes we tend to think, oh, that's not going to happen to me. You know, especially when you're young, you know, in your 20s and teens and stuff, you think, that's for old people. You know, that sort of stuff don't happen to me. I've got plenty of years ahead of me. But no, you think, if you begin to think like that, you're the one Satan is looking, he's stalking. He's going to get you unless you get back in that secret place. So, you know, Jesus, he mediated a better sacrifice. He mediated a better covenant for us. So if we have a better covenant than the children of Israel did, if they were protected by the blood of an animal, the blood of the lamb that they put over their doorpost, how much more do you think we are because of the blood of Jesus? You know, God's got us. But we have to be willing once again to live where he says for us to live. We cannot just go out and do our own thing, you know, live our own lives. Acts 28:5. This is Paul when he was on that ship and the storm hit the ship. And they all had to get off, you know, they had lost a bunch of their stuff. And they had come to this island, Acts 28:5. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melito. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. In other words, there came out a snake. I bet you it was a big snake too. You know, snakes are dangerous. I don't play around with snakes. I remember one time at home, it was about 6:30, somewhere around there, I don't know. I was walking somewhere in our yard, and I spotted this snake. Boy, I tell you, I didn't know I could move that fast. I ran up those stairs. I think I ran like 4 at a time. I was so scared. And after then, it took a long time before you can catch me out in that yard at that hour. But here, Paul, he's got this snake hanging on his hand. And you know, snakes bite. You know, they sink their fangs into you. God help you. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Paul was able to just shake the servant. Paul just shook his hand, and the snake just fell off into the fire. Like nothing. He just shake it off. I would have been doing a whole lot more than shaking. You know? Supernatural protection. Mark 16:15-18. After Jesus arose from the dead, he commissioned his disciples, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall take up serpents. I don't think I'm taking up no serpent. Sorry, Paul. I mean, not unless I absolutely have to. But this is Jesus talking. He said they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It won't hurt you. Supernatural protection. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You know, when I first came here, about, I don't know, maybe it was probably about a month or so after, Pastor was doing this teaching, and I can't remember exactly what the lesson was all about, but he was talking about angels. I remember he was talking about angels. And so later on that week, I was at home, you know, thinking about the lesson. I guess I was meditating about the lesson, and something he said about angels that just resonated with me. And then, just like that, the Holy Spirit, you know, took me back to when I was a little girl, I was probably about four. I shared this before with some of the intercessors. But I was about 4 years old, four or five, maybe younger. And my mom used to get up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and she'd put me on the potty, you know. And so I was sitting there, and there was a man standing behind her, and he had on a hat. And then even, you know, the light wasn't on, but I could see it was a brown hat with a band. And I kept telling her, man, look, man, man. And she looked, and she said, what man? And I said, man, look, man. And so she turned on the light, but there was no man. So fast forward, 25 years later, my mom's in the hospital, and I'm standing by her bedside. Well, the day before, I mean, I was distraught about, you know, the condition of her mom, my mom. There was stuff going on in the family. I mean, it was just bad. It was like nothing that I had ever experienced. And I was walking that day, and I deliberately walked because I wanted to pray. I wanted to talk to the Lord. And I remember saying, Lord, this is too much. I cannot stand this. I give up. I give up. I give up. I give up. I'm done. I'm so done, you know. So the next day, I'm standing in my mom's room in the hospital. And this man comes in. And the way how he came in, it was kind of funny. Because I saw when he came in, but at the same time, it seemed like he just appeared. You know, does that make sense? And so he came straight to my mom's bedside, and he just started talking to me like he knew me. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm talking back, and then he's asking me, how's your mom? How's she doing? And I'm, you know, I'm talking, and he's asking me about me, and I'm looking at him, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking, who is this guy? You know, I felt like I knew him. There was something about him, but I just couldn't place him. So he spent maybe 15, 20 minutes, and he said, I'm going now. And he turned, and I looked at him, and he turned, he got out the room, and he turned down the hallway. And impulsively, for some reason, I decided to go follow him. So I went, and he was nowhere in sight. I looked everywhere in all the other cubicles. He was gone. But while he was talking to me, he was encouraging me. He kept saying, don't give up. The same thing that I was saying to God. Don't give up. It's going to be all right. You know, and he started telling me some other things that I was talking to God about down that long road. You know, there was no one else there. But he knew. And I think that's why I followed to see where is he going. He just disappeared. And so when I went home that day after church, and I'm thinking about the message, all of a sudden I made a connection. That guy, that man that I saw when I was sitting on the potty telling my mom, man, look, man. And that guy in the hospital room, it was one and the same. And I forgot to tell you this. When he came in the room, he was holding a brown felt hat with a band in his hand. And he looked exactly like he did when I first saw him. That man did not age. I mean, he looked exactly like I saw him. That was my encounter with an angel. I didn't know it was an angel. But angels are all around us all the time. And we don't recognize them. another time, I'm going to go real quick because my time is almost up. You know, the fair came to town, and the leader of the fair was a relative, and she gave me these two plants to take to the fairgrounds. And it was like 12, 31 o'clock, the sun was hot, and I was walking with, I didn't want to make two trips, so I'm carrying them in both arms. But, you know, it was hot, and it seems like after a while, every step that I took, the plants seemed to get heavier and heavier. And I remember saying, Lord, I sure wish, you know, somebody would come and help me with one of these plants. So I decided to take a shortcut through a schoolyard and through a cemetery and across the street, you know, because it was like, it would cut out sometime. And so while I'm walking, now, back in Guyana, people have a thing about cemeteries. So I remember the edge of the cemetery, I kind of hesitated, and I looked really good to make sure no one was there. But I was walking, suddenly this girl appeared by my side, looked just like me, and she said, hey. And I looked, and I thought, where did she come from? But she just started talking, and we started talking. To make a long story short, we got to the fairgrounds, and I told her, you know, so-and-so told me to go to this booth. There was no one around, the grounds was empty, and put these plants right here. So, you know, I went and I put my plant, and I turned, and the plant was there, and the girl was nowhere in sight. She just disappeared. And, you know, for the longest time, I never knew that she was an angel. From time to time, the thought would cross my mind, and I would wonder, who was she? I was an angel. Angels are all around us, right? They're in our everyday lives. They're ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to them for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who do you think the heirs of salvation? Us. We're the heirs of salvation. And God sends angels among us. Years ago, Amy Grant had a song, angels watching over me everywhere I go. They're angels, right? Verse 12 said, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan knows good well about angels. He tried to get Jesus to jump off a cliff when he was tempting him. And Satan uses the word now, except that he'll twist it, you know, take it out of context to get you to do what he wants. And he said to Jesus, it is written. He knows what the word says, that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. This is Matthew 4:5-6. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Of course, Jesus didn't listen to him. You know, he said, Jesus gave him the word. He said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, he knew that, but he conveniently forgot about that part. You know, and here he is trying to get Jesus to jump off a cliff. So, you know, we have angels. God has given us angels to protect us. They're all around us. We just don't recognize them. And I'm out of time. I've got a lot more about angels. And if you guys want to know the rest of this, I'm concluding this on Wednesday, then you have to come back to hear.